Can we stand today for the last time? I'm going to have you exercise one more time with me. Come on, y'all. We're going to do our declaration together. You can hold up your Bible or you can do the hand motions with me. But let's say, my eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says, and my voice will declare the truth of His word. Amen? All right, you may be seated. And since it's Christmas time, y'all, He said, preach a gospel message. Preach the good news. Tell somebody the good news. And so I felt led to share about the promises that we see. It's actually quite funny. I don't know if anybody saw my face. Ashley and the worship team might have. But Tamika had a lot of my scriptures. And so I was just like, thank you, Lord, confirmation. So I may read a different version for you today. But she actually read like four of my scriptures. And so praise the Lord. He is leading. His hand is on it. So I was like, yes, come on. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 1. If you want to, please, I don't have scriptures on the screen this morning. I figured we could bust out our Bibles or our digital Bibles, but we are going to be in Luke chapter 1 for a minute. So go ahead and open up Luke chapter 1. I'm going to do it with you, give you some time. And if you're on a Bible app this morning, I am reading in the English Standard Version, so ESV this morning, if you want to follow along with me. So Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 5. So the first promise that came to my mind as I was asking the Lord, you know, how do we want to get the good news out? What good news are we sharing? He said, let's do all of it. So we're going to start with the promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And it starts with, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So the first call out I'm going to say is they were of the line of priests. We see it. We see it portrayed here, and we see it in their bloodline. So they were the line of priests. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Oh, how awesome it is when the Lord calls you out, and we're able to have our rap sheet say, I'm blameless and walking according to the Lord's ways. Amen? What a testimony. For all of eternity, we get to know their story. I'm just so blessed by that. Verse 7, it says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they both were advanced in years. That's the nice way of saying they were older. I'm going to start using that. Don't call me old. I'm advanced in years. Come on. And then it says in verse 8, now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. This is one of my favorite statements right here. The angels say this to each of them. But the angel said, what did he say? Do not be afraid. So I need you to hear this morning. When you are in the presence of an angel, they don't look like we depict them in the, you know, the little paintings where like little babies and they're all sweet and, you know, cuddly and cute. It's like, no, it's probably alarming to all of the senses, so much so that each of the angels that we see in Scripture typically are leading with the statement, don't be afraid. You know, just, you know, it's all right. You know, we're not here to kill you, right? You know, so they obviously don't have the baby look. Just saying, okay? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. This is what I love. Notice this. What does he say? For your prayer has been heard. Well, wait a second. What prayer? We see that he's operating in his priestly duties. But I'm here to tell you today that Zechariah was praying for more than the nation. He is praying more for more than the sins of the people. Those were his duties. But because he did his duties, God heard his prayer. What was his prayer? Well, he's advanced in age. His wife is barren. And he says, Lord, I have no heir. I have no one to continue my bloodline. Would you give us a child? And some of us, this is just me, but some of us, maybe we're so hard of hearing that the Lord's like, all right, listen, I'm going to have to send an angel to shock him awake because I'm trying to talk to him and he's not listening because he's kind of fallen into the, not really a woe is me because we're talking about this man being righteous. There could have been some of that. But sometimes we get so distraught and it's like, we pass it up and say, well, maybe it's just not for me. It's just not for me. It won't happen. It's for other people, but it's not for me. So one of the things that I was thinking is, one, how sweet it is, how awesome it is that after all these years, who knows how long he was praying this prayer, who knows how long Elizabeth was praying the prayer, that they would persist and say, Lord, you know, if it's in your will, if it's in your plan, that we might have a son. I don't know how the prayer changed and transformed over time. You know, if it was with lots of tears before or after, you know, we don't know what that was, but have you ever persisted in a prayer for so long that, I don't know, it was almost second nature? Now it's just a cry of your heart. Now it's just like every time I get before the Lord, my heart's groaning like, God, would you just do it? I don't have any more words. I don't have any other ways to articulate it, you know? Would you just do it? And they didn't give up. So I was blessed by that. He said, for your prayer has been heard. And he called it by name. He said, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. One quick little nugget. That's not really traditional. They usually name him after a family member, right? And so he's like, here, John, who's John? Is my name John? No, my name's Zechariah. Huh, that's weird, you know, right? So he's already starting to question. And I feel like the Lord drops these nuggets in just to see what we're going to do with it, right? And so we're going to see what Zechariah does with it right here. Verse 14, he says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, which they did, for he will be great before the Lord. Now listen, he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he, man, this is so cool, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Y'all, that didn't happen. They didn't work that way. And so this was a first, right? Verse 16, it says, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Man, I want to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That's something to say, hey, Lord, make me like that. Help me prepare your people, right? Not just go out and make disciples, but actually get them ready. You know what I'm saying? That colors it a bit more. Now here's where things shifted a little bit. All this stuff is starting to sink in, verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, prove it. That's not what the word says. But if you look at the way his heart was shifted there, because we're going to read Mary's story, and she asks a somewhat similar question. But here's what he's saying. He says, how shall I know this? He's basically saying, prove it. How can I test you? Right? He said, I'm an old man. And my wife, I love how he gave favor to the wife. He was like, listen, I'm old. She's advanced. She'll get me if she knows what I said. I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel said to him, I don't know the authority that fell in this moment, but this was probably one of those oh no moments. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. So he's basically saying, if God told me to say it, bro, this is what he said. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. So now look, behold, take notice. You will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And all the people were waiting for Zechariah, so he'd been in there a minute. Tradition says that they would tie a string around them with bells so they'd make a little sound. And if the bells stopped, they're like, oh no, they were struck dead in the temple. We got to drag them out now, okay? So he's been in there a while. Maybe he's not making any jingle bells. And it's been a minute, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple, is what it says in verse 21. And when he came out, verse 22, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. How do you sign language? Listen, here's what the angel said. It doesn't make any sense to me. It didn't make any sense to me. And I'm mute now, so y'all don't ask a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying? He's like trying to do all this, and they weren't getting it. And it says, and when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. But, and I'm adding the but there, verse 24, I love that. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from among the people. So it wasn't just that she was advanced in years. People were making fun of her. You don't have no heir. Who are you? And what you need to hear in that, this is just a little nugget, don't have this in my notes. But when people see your life blessed, the enemy tries to come in and tries to say, well, you're not like them. You're not that good. And he starts twisting this stuff so you shift your heart towards them, and then you start talking smack about them, and you don't need to. What God did for them, he can do for you. So celebrate them. Hey, you're pregnant. Praise God. And for all the mamas in that moment, they could have said, hey, if God did it for her and she was barren, he can do it for me. So we control that narrative. We control what we listen to from the enemy. Are we going to align with the lies and the dissension and the division? Or are we going to celebrate someone when they're elevated? Praise God. I'm going to celebrate you so much as if it was my joy, because I know that when it happens for me, we're going to celebrate together. Are you with me? That's the way that it needs to go. And so that was promise number one. That blessed me, but it gets better, y'all. And so we're going to continue reading. Like I said, we're going to be here in the same scripture. So we're going to jump to verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, so they're not married yet, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. What? Once again, Gabriel's got the good greetings, man. I love it. But listen, there we go again. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, what? Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I was talking, and someone said this to me, and I never thought about it this way, but we don't often hear about the mother and father of Mary or of Joseph, for that matter. And so she had a mother who cared about her so much to raise her in this way. We don't get to see her story, but we get to see the fruit on the life of Mary. How beautiful is that? That she raised her in a way that God would look at her and say, you are blessed. You found favor. You get to bear the one who everyone has been waiting for all this time. You get to be his mama. So imagine not only the blessing, but also like, what? Come again? You know, I'm doing what now? You know, I'm not even married yet. Like, are you sure? You know, me? Right? All the questions. I love that when she was troubled at the saying, you know, he's talking about a favored one, she's discerning the greeting. Right? Like, what does that mean? What's going on? What have I done? How? You know? It doesn't say she sinned or anything like that, but she's just paying attention to the greeting. Verse 31, and behold, so look, pay attention, watch. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, now her questions are different. So catch this with me. Her question was basically, huh, I've never seen that before. How are you going to do that? Not, could it happen? Will it happen? Prove it. It's, I didn't know anybody could have a baby without being married. Like, that's new. I'm okay with it, but how are you going to do that? You know, fill me in a little bit on the plan. That sounds cool, right? You know, so it's very inquisitive. It's more to the how it will happen, not are you capable of making it happen or are you sure about that, right? So she says, how will it be? I'm a virgin, right? And the angel answered her in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And then he gives her another little nugget. Verse 36, and behold, look, watch, pay attention. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, he's not as nice as Zechariah, has also conceived a son. And this is her sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And I love. Let us always be like this. Mary's answer to this in verse 38. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. And it said the angel departed. Lord, can we just believe? Can we do like Tamika was saying? Can we have hope? Can we not change the definition to like, well, I don't believe it, but maybe it will happen. I hope that way. Or can we say, I don't see it yet. Don't even understand how you're going to do this because I'm not married. But Lord, you can do all things. Let it be unto me as you've said. I'm your servant. Whatever happens. Like it's basically saying, regardless of whether you bless me or not, I still choose you. Regardless of whether you give me all these wonderful things, I still want to do everything that you want me to do because that's what I've committed to in my heart. My heart is yours. Can we be that way? Amen? The next part here, and I don't think I'm going to read this. I encourage you to. One of my favorite newer songs by Chris Tomlin takes a little bit of Mary's Song of Praise. My soul magnifies the Lord is the name of the song. One of my favorite ones for all seasons. I'm one of those weirdos that listen to Christmas music all the time. So some of you are like, no. But you liked me before. Now you don't. But it's okay. But my soul magnifies the Lord. I love it. Her heart bursts forth into praise. And one of the neat things on the Chosen episode I was talking about, she starts singing it before Jesus is born. And Joseph said, hey, what's that? Is that a Psalm of David or something? Like, what are you singing? She's like, oh, it's just something that, I don't know, I just started singing out to God, and he just gave me the words. And it was just so sweet. It was so beautiful. It's like, for me, and this is Chris's stance on this, is throughout history, women have been looked at as like they can't teach, they can't preach. God may use them, but he'd rather use the guys. And I want to break that off the ladies today, that God has given you songs, God has given you words, God has given you wisdom to impart in the next generation, and don't stop. Who cares what man says? Do what God says. Are you with me? So y'all be empowered. I want to hear those songs. I want to hear those words. I want to hear that instruction. And because we know it's from the Lord, I'm the first going to get in line and say, let's do it. Let's obey the voice of the Lord, right? We need more of that. So I jump down into verse 41, still in chapter 1 of Luke. And so she traveled to her relative Elizabeth's house. So she heard the good news. She's like, I need to make a trip. And it says in verse 41, I love it. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb. Now, all the ladies in the house are like, oh, I've had those leaps. I've had those kicks. Those aren't the fun ones. And we don't get too excited about those because those makes us uncomfortable. But when she heard it and the baby leaped in her womb, this one was a good one because it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? So the baby in Mary is Jesus, also full of Holy Spirit. And the baby in Elizabeth is John, who would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Remember what the angel said? Here's the moment, right? She hears a greeting, and boom, there it is. How awesome is that? And then it gets fun here because they just have like a little Holy Ghost party. I wanted to be up in this house at that time because that's some fun stuff right there. But they just get together and they love on each other and they celebrate the goodness, and she blesses her. She's like, how awesome it is for the mother of my Lord to come to my house, right? How cool is that? She's excited. They have a good party. Mary blesses the Lord in song, which I love. And then she goes home. She's like, hey, we're good. The angels confirmed everything. I'm at peace. And here's the interesting thing, and we don't know this, but if Elizabeth was ridiculed for being barren, if Elizabeth was ridiculed for, oh, you serve God, but God don't give you a baby, are you sure? You know, she's getting all that flack from everybody. Maybe she encouraged Mary, hey, listen, people are going to see you, and they're going to know that something happened, and they don't understand what it means when Holy Spirit comes and gets you pregnant. They're not ready for that, and you're going to be looked at differently. You're going to be talked about. They're going to say all kinds of stuff. They're going to look at you all sorts of ways, but just be encouraged. Take heart. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in the Lord, because he did this, and you are blessed and highly favored. Say that until it sinks in. That way it's louder than all the noise that you're going to get. You are blessed and highly favored. Do not forget that. Because, guys, that was real. I don't know what their travel to Bethlehem was like, but I've talked about this with a number of people, and scholars talk about it all the time, but to travel alone was pretty dangerous. Now, we don't know if they traveled in caravans, traveled alone, but to travel alone was pretty dangerous. But to travel with a bunch of people that are asking all sorts of questions, that could be kind of dangerous too. Wait a second, y'all are pregnant? Are you married yet? Like, I don't know if they had rings back then, but somehow they knew. It was like, oh, wait a second, this wasn't done. But it also blesses me, and the men of God need to hear it in the house today. Be like Joseph. Be like Joseph. I like the dialogue in the movie once again. Can't say enough good about it. But she said, I want to thank you for not. She's like, you could have just said, hey, I cast her out. She's like, it was within the law that you could have cast me out and you didn't. Thank you for staying. And some of the guys in the house, some of the guys listening online, might not be your baby. But bless you for being an actual man that chose to stay, that chose to raise it as it was your baby. God will bless you for that. Blessed are the men. This is a freebie one. I don't see this in scripture anywhere. But blessed are the men who also act as spiritual fathers and raise up children that are not theirs under the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they would walk all their ways as unto the Lord. There's a lot of young men that don't have dads, and they try to figure it out. And how many of you know we mess it up? So be a dad. Be a mom. The Lord will bless that. I believe that he will. And the Lord will bless you, sons and daughters, when you honor and respect and pray for and obey the mom and dad, either the ones that you have or the ones that are the spiritual ones in your life. God will bless you for that too. The Word of God says it was the first commandment with a promise. I love that, you know, that you would live long in the land. That blesses me. I'm going to accelerate a little bit of our message because, like I said, we've got some of these scriptures that have already been delivered this morning, so the word is going forth. So I want to accelerate to the promise, the birth of Jesus. So we're going to go to Luke 2, and we're going to jump to verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. It says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, fear not, Don't be afraid, right? For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. So he already knew the questions. He's like, all right, y'all want a sign? Here's the sign, okay? And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. Y'all, you better pay attention to the suddenly moments. Because where there was one in one instance, a suddenly happened, and then there was a multitude. Like so many that you can't count, okay? They had other words back then. So the fact they used multitude, meaning they didn't say, all right, one, two, three, you know, right? You know what I'm saying? Multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Y'all, the whole earth at that point was not holy. There were some crusty ones, some bad ones still too. But he said, you know what? I love you so much that I'm going to give you a free gift. The best thing I could possibly give to fix it all. Right here, right now. And I'm pleased to do it. It's my joy, and my joy is now going to be your joy. Are you with me? And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, I love this, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. Oh, that we would all be the type of people, like even the shepherds, that went with haste to go tell the good news, that went with haste to see and to tell what God is doing. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. So they told them what the angel said. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. It wasn't like, No, it's like, wow, marvel. Like, you know what I'm saying? Wide-eyed wonder. But Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's some good news. The shepherds were blessed to be the first ones to say, hey, guess what? The one we've been waiting for this entire time, the one we've been praying for, the one we've been expecting, he's here. And the interesting thing is, though they might have even thought, as many did in that time, our king is here. He's going to get rid of all the Romans. He's going to get rid of all the occupation. He's going to make all these things right. Even though they didn't understand it all, they were able to communicate the good news. So I'm here to tell you today, even though you might not understand it all, even though you don't have all the answers, can we move with some haste? Can we move with some speed with the Lord and say, God, I need to tell everybody I possibly can about the good news of Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what you need today? I don't know everything, but I know someone that you need today, and he's free for all. His name is Jesus. And though your life may not shift immediately from one of poverty to one of riches, as it pertains to the Spirit, it will. You go from nothing to something in the Spirit. Amen? And as you walk it out with him, you will find that his provision is beautiful. His care is perfect. If you guys look online, you'll see my whole notes. And so I'm not minimizing at all everything that he said here, but I just want to be mindful of time because it is Christmas and I want to get you out of here. My next point was the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the address to that just in case. It's found in John 14, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 19. John 14, 15 through 19. He promised us that when he goes, he would not leave us as orphans, but that he would come to us. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I think about these statements, it's like, How interesting must that have been? I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come to you again, right? And when Holy Spirit came, we have to understand, we kind of mystify a lot of stuff that doesn't need to be mystified. The Holy Spirit is going to look and sound like Jesus because he's the Spirit of Jesus. Are you with me? And so everybody's like, okay, so how should I pray? Dear God, dear Jesus, or dear Holy Spirit, or do I just like, can I mix it all up? Mix it all up. Whatever you're going to do. But I think the important thing is that we're praying, right? And we know who we ought to be praying to, right? Okay? So let's not get it twisted there. I want to give you this one because, as I said, Tamika shared this, and I love it so much. So the promise that I wanted to share as we wrap things up is the promise of the resurrection and the promise of our eternal home. The promise of the resurrection and the promise of our eternal home. I'm going to read these a little bit quicker. But in John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, it says, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one," say no one, "takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Now, for Hezekiah, he's not talking about the Honda Accord. They got some good jokes. But he says, "I lay it down of my own accord. I choose to be obedient to my Father. That's why he loves me, because I'm obedient and I do what he says." He says, "I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it back up again. This charge I have received from my Father." And so Jesus is setting the stage. He's like, y'all don't even know what's about to happen, but I'm going to model it for you. I'm going to lay down my life and do everything the Father tells me to do. He's going to raise me up. And because I'll be the firstborn of the resurrected, you can be resurrected. You will be raised to new life. Death is not the end. Are you with me? Okay? Listen, he continues, chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." That's an intimacy there, that word there. Intimacy. Abiding, right? I know them, and they follow me. Then he tells them again, verse 28, "I give them eternal life that they will never perish," and this has stuck with me all my life, "and no one will snatch them out of my hand." You are safe. You are secure in the Master's hand. He says no one, and he means no one will snatch you out of his hand. He keeps you. Amen? He says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all." Are you with me? "And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And guess what? I and the Father are one. So I want to show you this. This is the picture that it gives me. Father's hand, Jesus' hand.
Now somebody come try to pry it apart. You know what I'm saying?
It ain't going to happen. What he's saying is, not only could they not take him out of his hand, but you're also in my hand, and he's given me that authority too, so you just got double, right? I and the Father are one. Jump down to John 11. So we're just right in order here. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." I'm going to say that again. "I am the resurrection and the life." And so if we abide in Jesus, we have intimacy with Jesus, we are connected to the source, and he is the resurrection, he is the life, what does that mean we have? Resurrection and life, come on. "So whoever believes in me, though he dies bodily, yet shall he live in the spirit. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Amen. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. This is the good news. This is what we're sharing. That God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. We need to stop sugarcoating things. The only way to heaven is Jesus. If you don't profess and you don't walk with Jesus, you do not have life. This is why short little nugget here. This is why it's so imperative that we don't try to cut corners when communicating the good news. I immediately think of like my Muslim friends as I share with them. It's like, I love that you believe in God. That's great. But do you believe in Jesus? That's different, okay? I have stories that they've told me, a number of people that have told me, where they'll have dreams. And sometimes because we're so hard-headed in communication, we're not doing what we're told to do, God has to give them dreams and say, I had a son. His name is Jesus. You need to accept him in order to walk in eternal life, okay? He's the gate. He's the way. And so we ought to stop saying, oh, that's good. They love God. They're good. No, they're not good. Tell them about Jesus. Are you with me? All right, so here is the culmination of it all. Here is the final part of it. He is risen. Luke 24, verses 1 through 9. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb. They took the spices that they had prepared. So they were going to anoint him because everything was done in such a rush. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were there perplexed about this, behold, two men, so if one wasn't startling enough, there's two, stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to their rest. John 14, 1 through 7 says, so let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, best part, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Did you know that you can live in that right now through abiding in him? He's going to take us to the better version, but we can have a little bit of that right here, right now, if we abide in him. Are you with me? I love it. And you know the way where I'm going, Thomas said. Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. But from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Amen? I want to close this up. But the next point was that we would do greater works. It's a promise of greater works. I want to ask everybody to stand on this last little point. But the Lord said, how will they know? How will they know? I love that word that Tamika shared from Billy Graham, occupy until he comes. What does that mean? It means take some ground. Hey, this is kingdom land, not the enemy's land, so get off my lawn, dude, right? Don't let them back in. How will they know this good news if someone doesn't tell them? How will they know if we don't share the good news? The best part of it is we have it right here. We can't mess it up. Just say what it says. You know? Practice it. Say what it says, and you'll find that it'll become something that you're able to do naturally. Y'all, listen. Billy Graham didn't get polished like that just standing up there the first day. He was obedient to do it and do it and do it and do it. The scripture that I want to leave you with is Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then 14 and 15. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we've heard this, but I heard a preacher say that the kingdom of God is voice activated. So often we face something like I was telling you earlier about our trial with, you know, provision and things the enemy was just taking. And God said, hey, you wrote it in your sermon, so I know that you know it. I know you heard me say it. Kingdom of God is voice activated. Say it. Speak it. Declare it. Okay. And then I did. And it was written out the same day, right? So here's what he says. Verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll what? Be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. It's both. And then it gives you a promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So he says, how will they know? Verses 14 and 15. Here's our charge. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? It didn't say someone pastoring. It didn't say someone CEOing, being the boss. It said preaching. Raise your hand in here if you're called to be a preacher. All hands up. All hands up. No one on the sidelines. You are called to preach the word. You are called to tell the good news of Jesus. So it says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So I'm here to tell you, church, God is with you. God has sent you. Matthew 28, he commanded us, go unto all the world and preach the good news. Making disciples. Making disciples is a process. It's not going to happen the first time. It looks more like, hey, you want to do life together? You want to come over to my house and have a meal and let's talk about Jesus? That's some making disciples. Hey, you want to go down to the food bank and serve some people some food because they ain't got it? That's making disciples. All right? Do it for the glory of the Lord Jesus. So today, I want us to open up our hands as we're receiving a gift. And Jesus, I just want to impart unto these people courage and boldness. We all are familiar with the story of you coming into this world as a baby. But Lord, make no mistake, you also grew up and became a man. You were obedient to your Father. You said what he said. You did what you saw him doing, and we want to be like you. So Lord, give us a boldness. Give us a courage. Give us the endurance and the fortitude to say, I will do what you say. You say to tell my friends about you, I will do that. You say tell my family about you, I will do that. I don't get to control whether they listen or not. I get to control whether I open up my mouth and I speak and I say yes. Fill my mouth with words and help me speak. And every time you fill my mouth with words, I will share those words. But Lord, we want to see your name magnified. We want to see you lifted high. And the best way we do that is to tell the good news of the coming of Jesus. That not only did you come, you laid down your life and you died for us. And then you picked it back up again and you sat on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done. Now help us to tell somebody the good news that you did it for them too. Teach us to make disciples. Teach us to love your people. And Lord, as we step into 2023, Lord God, be with us. Let us not set our hands and our hearts and our minds and our willpower to do anything that is not in your heart. We want to be led by you. And Lord, I thank you for this people. I thank you for those that are in here, and I thank you for those that have joined online. Lord, would you bless them? Lord, would you keep them? Lord, would you guide them and strengthen them? Provide for all of their needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would allow it, we're going to sing a final song. Please talk. Please say hi. Please love on somebody. Feel free to linger in the house of the Lord. But Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. We hope to see you next week. We love you guys. Be blessed.